energy, and it goes against your natural desires and dreams. It's also impossible to thoughtfully do both at the same time. Don't get us started on multitasking, right? It's hard meeting people willing to share their authentic selves when you first meet them. Chris Rock said, "When you meet somebody for the first time, you're not meeting them, you're meeting their representative." But unless that relationship lasts only a few moments, there's so much value in sharing your whole self right away. I say share your deeply authentic self far and wide. Be weird and be random. Be you and be cool with it. Do you think it's hard to do this? If you do, you're right. It is very hard. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry says, "How desperately difficult it is to be honest with oneself. It is much easier to be honest with other people. What is true is invisible to the eye. It is only with the heart that one can clearly see." Chuck Klosterman says, "I honestly believe that people of my generation despise authenticity, mostly because they're all so envious of it." Hermann Hesse writes in Siddhartha, "What could I say to you that would be of value, except that perhaps you seek too much, that as a result of your seeking, you cannot find? But if you find it, if you discover and share your authentic self, it has the biggest payoff of all." Eckhart Tolle says, "Only the truth of who you are, if realized, will set you free." An ancient African proverb says, "When there are no enemies within, the enemies outside cannot hurt you." And Shakespeare writes, "This above all, to thine own self be true. And it must follow, as the night the day, thou canst not then be false to any man." Remember the confidence box. You can't be yourself until you hold a high opinion of yourself and others. Remember the three simple tests: the Saturday morning test, the bench test, the five people test. They will point you the right way. What happens if you don't share your true self with the world? Well, then you may never truly know who might love the person you hide. Be you. When I was a kid, I always loved albums with a secret track. You know, you played all the way through, you kept the disc spinning, and then 5 minutes later a song started playing over your speakers. What was this song? What were the lyrics? Why wasn't it in the liner notes? But there was nothing. No title, no lyrics, just music. To me, the secret song always sounded like a reflection of the album, but different from the album. Over time, more and more artists started including secret songs in their album. The Beatles, Nirvana, Coldplay. But I have never read a book with a secret chapter. This chapter isn't in the contents. It's not in the index. In print, it has no page numbers. This chapter is completely off the grid. And it contains a special secret that's not just about you. It's about your relationship with your partner. That's why I wanted it separate. The rest of the book is just you. This one, it's a little different. The Law of Being Happy Together. I have a positive attitude about 80% of the time. Good mood, happy times, life feels great. You don't want to see me the other 20%. Sullen, moody, negative. I wish I were positive 100% of the time, but I have never seen anyone there. I'm not saying it's not possible, just hard. Remember the single biggest reason it's so hard to be happy? And the culture of more versus the culture of enough? I'm happy most of the time. I put a lot into the big seven to lift myself into greater positivity. What about my wife Leslie? She's positive about 80% of the time too. Enthusiastic and uplifting and happy, her smile lights up the room. Like me, she's not perfect, and she has off days too. We all do, but she's one of the happiest people I've met, and I love being around her. What do those two percentages help us with? It helps us do math! Yes, I hope I can get you excited about math. Truth is, the whole world is math. It's the basis of your furniture and the car, and the way the birds fly, and the way the beer pours, and the way the stars shine. You don't have to be good at math to love it. So why are our happy percentages so important? Well, if I'm happy 80% of the time, and Leslie's happy 80% of the time, how often are we in good moods together? The answer is 64%. How did we get 64%? Because 80% times 80% is 64%. That's when our good moods overlap. For us, it's almost a full two-thirds of the time. We're both smiling and loving and happy, and life is funny, and moments are precious, and everything is in its right place. These are the great days, the great moments, the best side of life. How often are Leslie and I in bad moods together? The answer is 4% of the time. Because 20% times 20% is 4%. Remember, if we're both happy 80% of the time, then 20% is the time we're unhappy. We just multiply those two numbers, 20% times 20%, and that gives us the 4%. Those aren't beautiful scenes. I feel bad about them. It's hard giving each other a mood or energy lift if we're both feeling off. Luckily, it doesn't happen too often, just 4% of the time. So let's just summarize what we've done so far. We've taken our happy percentage, and we've multiplied it by our partner's happy percentage to figure out how often we're both happy. Then we've taken our unhappy percentage and multiplied it by our partner's unhappy percentage to figure out how much time we're both unhappy. What are we left with? Well, for Leslie and I, the other 32% of our time means one of us is happy and one of us is not. For us, this is a full third of our time together. That means a full third of our time, one person's mood influences the others. The positive person pulls the negative person up, or the negative person pulls the positive person down. Most partners find this number is quite high. You can do the math on yourself to find out yours. Why is this number so important? Because you need to ask yourself an important question right now, and you need to be honest. What percent of the time are you happy, and what percent of the time is your partner happy? If you're not in a relationship right now, think about this question with your boss, roommate, or sibling, whoever you see more than anyone, whoever has the most opportunity to influence your mood. For Leslie and me, we're both happy 64% of the time, and both unhappy 4% of the time, so 32% is up for grabs. Find your own percentage. What do you notice? The person we're with affects our happiness tremendously. If I'm happy 80% of the time, and my partner is happy only 50% of the time, then suddenly 50% of our time is up for grabs, half of how we feel. We're pulling and dragging each other into good and bad moods half the time, and I walked into this feeling great 80% of the time. What an energy drag. Remember the 5 people test. You are the average of the 5 people around you, but you are an even bigger average of the one person around you most. You are tremendously influenced, or you spend a lot of energy influencing the specific mood and energy of your partner. What's the learning? It is really important to find a partner who is at your level of happiness or higher. The good news is you can be happy first, like we learned in secret number 1, but it could be exhausting cheering somebody up all the time. So think about whether your partner is adding to your happiness or draining it. And now we return to our regularly scheduled program. Secret number 9, the single best piece of advice you will ever take. Chapter 1, 97% of lung cancer patients are smokers, and 97% of smokers never get lung cancer. Extra calcium and vitamin D aren't necessary. The headline caught my eye as I was clicking through the most emailed section of the New York Times. I read how the Institute of Medicine, an independent nonprofit run by U.S. and Canadian governments, had studied more than 1,000 publications and come to this conclusion. I suddenly felt better about myself. I wasn't taking any extra calcium or vitamin D. No need to start now. I then clicked over to the Toronto Star's website and surfed around a bit there. A headline caught my eye. Go on the offense and get your vitamin D. Another study, another article, completely opposite advice. Two of the world's largest newspapers, 2 big brands, 2 front page articles, both giving the exact opposite advice. What am I supposed to do now? I suddenly got worried. What if all advice conflicts? Don't take advice. I remember a CEO telling me this once when I told him that some people liked the new corporate meeting and some people didn't. I looked at him. Don't take advice? Really? You've done your research, he said. You own the meeting. You don't have to worry what anyone thinks. You get to decide. And remember that all advice conflicts. You can twist advice any which way to make any point you want. Haven't you heard that 97% of lung cancer patients are smokers, and 97% of smokers never get lung cancer? I stared at him blankly. I didn't know if that was true, but my brain was lighting up just thinking about it. He was challenging me. He always did. He then went on, "You make up your own mind. My advice is to become creatively indifferent to all advice. Hear it, but decide what to do yourself." He paused and then said it one more time. Don't take advice. Chapter 2. What can we learn from the most common advice of all? While clicking around those newspaper websites with opposing headlines, I asked myself, what advice is most commonly accepted as truth? Be happy first? Do it for you? Remember the lottery? No. What advice do we all know, regardless of our background or experiences? It suddenly hit me. Clichés. Advice that's been said so many times, it's become well known to everybody. A rolling stone gathers no moss. A bird in hand is worth two in the bush. Actions speak louder than words. We all know clichés. But what is a cliché anyway? I looked up the definition. Cliché. An expression or idea which has been used and overused because it is or was once considered meaningful. I also learned that cliché comes from the French. In old printing presses, a cliché was a physical, metal, printing plate that was also called a stereotype. Over time, it made sense to cast commonly used phrases in a single slug of metal instead of letter by letter. So a cliché was a collection of words used together often. Once I learned what a cliché was, I started looking up lists of clichés, the most timeless advice of all. I found as many as I could, and guess what I saw? Lots of clichés conflict too. What's the single biggest problem with all advice you will ever receive? The fact that there is no such thing as rock-solid advice. There just isn't any. No advice bird in the bush. What if you're a vegetarian? Nothing you can hang your hat on. What if you don't wear hats? And nothing you can take to the bank. What if you bank online? Advice is just never objectively true in all situations. How unsettling. What's the proof? Well, let me compare some of the most commonly heard clichés with their exact opposites. Defense wins championships. The best defense is a good offense. Birds of a feather flock together. Opposites attract. You're never too old to learn. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Clothes make the man. You can't judge a book by its cover. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Out of sight, out of mind. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Better safe than sorry. You get what you pay for. The best things in life are free. Good things come to those who wait. The early bird gets the worm. And finally, the pen is mightier than the sword. Actions speak louder than words. The proof is that even well-worn clichés look flimsy lined up against their exact opposite. All advice conflicts. Have you ever decided what school to go to? Do you notice everyone has a different opinion? Ignore them. Go with the bench test. Follow your heart. Have you ever told people what you're naming your baby? Bad idea. Advice comes flying at you. Have you tried asking for advice on what job to do next in your career? Go up, go across, just leave? Everyone says something different. Everyone says go somewhere different and do something different. Recently, a friend of mine announced she was quitting. Some people said, great idea, you're free, get out of here. And others said, you're an idiot, this is the best place to work. Remember, advice reflects the advisor's thoughts, not your thoughts. Ads tell you one thing, your boss says another, parents tell you one thing, your friends say another, and advice is important for a while. Watch out for cars, don't eat worms, flush the toilet. But happy people know when it's important to stop taking advice and start listening to yourself. Remember, any cliche, quote, or piece of advice that resonates with you only confirms to your mind something you already know. Charles Varley wrote back in 1872, when we ask advice, we are usually looking for an accomplice. That's why we like certain advice and don't like other advice. It's the reason people read newspapers that conform to their views as opposed to the ones against them. So what's the single best piece of advice you'll ever take? Don't take advice. The answers are all inside you. Think deep and decide what's best. Go forth and be happy, and don't take advice. And that's the end of section number 3. Have everything. We talked about 3 secrets. Secret number 7, just do it. Secret number 8, be you. And secret number 9, don't take advice. Thank you. Always remember there are only 3 goals. To want nothing, that's contentment. To do anything, that's freedom. To have everything, that's happiness. What are the 9 secrets to get us there? They are, be happy first. Do it for you. Remember the lottery. Never retire. Overvalue you. Create space. Just do it. Be you. And don't take advice. Thank you so much for listening. To keep the conversation going or download free resources from this book, please visit us at the Institute for Global Happiness. That's www.globalhappiness.org. Or you can email me anytime at neil@globalhappiness.org. This is Neil Pasricha. I hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Happiness Equation. Want nothing plus do anything equals have everything. This program was recorded by Ben Spiller at Wanted Sound and Picture in Toronto, Canada. Directed by Rick Harris. Executive producer, Karen Jaconski. Text copyright 2015 by Neil Pasricha. Production copyright 2016 by Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.